April 11th, 2010. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Doesn't matter what laws they break.
And it doesn't matter what you buy.
And it doesn't matter what you sell.
Because all of you people gonna want to
go to hell!
Oh. been there.
Pedro Show, April 11th, 2010. It's a Sunday. It's just a day I'll usually do it in Pedro, but I am not in Pedro. I am in Bourges.
Bourges.
Bourges. Is that the way?
That's it.
Well, you say the word bourgeois, and this is kind of the root of the word.
That's why I was staying at the Bourbon place.
At the Hotel de Bourbon.
De Bourbon. This is close to the Bourbon.
They would say like Bourbon.
Bourbon.
Yeah. But there's a county in Kentucky where some sour mash is made, and so we know this whiskey is bourbon. And it's actually next to a Abbey Ambrose.
Well, the hotel was attached to it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. St. Ambrose, from what, the 1200s?
1200s.
Yeah. So the chow pad part of this is the old Abbey. And
the chow pad.
Yeah, did you see it? Because the elevator.
No, restaurant.
I got out of the lift and I got vertigo. You know.
Yeah, like, I should introduce the guest, Mr. Steve McKay, sex man for Stooges, Kamielski, the sonic adventurer of many different.
Well, he goes by the name of Kundahola sometimes.
This project, in fact, I was just given a package. Does it come with a T-shirt?
No,
that's its package.
It's a patch.
It's a patch.
Yeah, yeah.
For a coat.
Or
a flag. Or your jeans, yeah. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing Too Young to Go Steady, and then Steve McKay and the First Thursday Band doing Go to Hell.
Third Thursday.
What did I say, first?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a thing in Pedro where they do an art walk on the first Thursday. Sorry about that. Third Thursday Band. Well, you give the story. This is something up in San Francisco.
Yeah, again, this is where Camille comes in.
You bum rushed it from him.
Turned me. No, he turned me on to the gig. About the time that our friend Yarda, when we were in Prague, we talked to him about before he
Praga.
Praha.
Mm-hmm. Praha, sorry.
But while he was still allowed to be in the United States, anyhow,
this is when Yardo was in San Francisco.
Yeah, and he was playing with Mike Dingle, and they have a place called the Bayview Boat Club, and Mike was the curator of the third Thursday of each month, and so that's like we turned it into like the lodge meeting almost. All the old musicians and Freddie Roulette, the blues steel guitar player. And we'd all play, yeah.
Which were like twisted covers?
Some of our covers are twisted. Some of them are pretty kind of straight. And now this Third Thursday band has been, I've been playing with them, gosh, 8-9 years now.
Right, and you do your compositions.
And they're doing some of my songs, and I sing a demented version of Blister in the Sun and stuff too. So
yeah. Now this, talk about this Go to Hell. When was it recorded?
This was just recorded, about a month ago.
Okay.
That's a song that was on a Commander Cody album. Me and a guy named Paul Rogers wrote it back in like 1979. And I did it with Carnal Kitchen in various incarnations. And so this is like the latest recording of that.
Yeah. It's going to be part of some stuff being released.
Well, that one won't necessarily be, because that's been recorded a lot, but I am...
There's stuff from the sessions.
We're putting up... We did a bunch of sessions, some of which include you, and some of which include Camille.
It's kind of like a box set?
I'm going to argue with Scott Nidegro about how many CDs it's going to be, because it could be...
What's the plan?
It's going to be at least... Minimum is one disc, and the maximum is probably going to be two, but there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, so I need a box.
Yeah, well, we'll put
when
it
you
in
first
a box.
Talked to me about it, you
a
said...
A box set, that's right.
Yeah, which usually means like 3, 5, 10.
No.
Well, that's what CDRs.
No, that's what people usually say, right? When they say box, they usually mean a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but it's going to be a compilation of me playing a lot, mostly songs that I've written, and so instead
kind of like an anthology.
Yeah, kind of, but with different backup bands and yourself.
That's what I mean, an anthology of places you've been with different people.
And over the last few years, like the Michigan and Arcturus was like...
I was going to say that.
That was like 2000 to 2004 or 5, and then this is like 2006 or 7 to the present.
So in a way, it's kind of a document.
It kind of is, It's just a way to get these songs that I've written out there.
And show people where you've been in the last...
Yeah, and they get
what is it, from 2005 to 2010?
Yeah, basically, that's it, And so some of these, we took advantage of our being able to travel with the Stooges to do recordings in Ireland and Brussels and things like that, so...
Right. And then Sunset Beach.
Sunset Beach, we did that thing.
It's California.
Yeah, that Orange County. That
I
was
didn't
that.
Have to travel too far.
Did you go and you played on that?
I'm not on the album.
I haven't heard that.
It's a whole album. Dick Deluxe got it together. He played guitar. Uh-huh. We had his Carnal Kitchen drummer, Marco.
Yeah.
And Piano Man?
That's the Jeremy.
Jeremy, a friend of Dick Deluxe's.
Yeah, that was a great band, and we just...
That's going to be an album on its own.
Yeah, but we're going to maybe do like one of those cuts.
Take one of those songs.
To put that on the album, too.
What's going to be... Do you have a name for this?
Oh, the title of the album? Yeah, Sometimes Like This I Talk.
Sometimes Like This I Talk.
That's what I sound like when I speak in a foreign language, especially French, to them. Okay. What I mean, you know?
It's okay.
It's okay.
The main point is communicating, huh?
Yeah, exactamo.
Yeah. So if you have a stylistic or syntax problems, it's not a big problem. You just did a gig, I heard, Friday.
Oh, yeah.
In Kemper.
Kemper.
Yeah, Brittany, part of France.
Yeah, it was very, very interesting. Never really... delved into that area, and they've got they got their own version of their own language called Breton, and it's sort of like Gaelic, and so the towns all have
Gaelic names.
Kemper is spelled Camper, Q-U-I-M-P-E-R in French, but K-E-M-P-E-R in Breton. So How many thousand people was there? You were there.
Yeah, I was there.
I saw you across the stage.
Le Pavillon.
Pavillon, yeah.
And it was part of the
Yakidaki something festival. Yeah. I got my backstage pass. Wait a second. Mike's looking in his wallet. He might have his backstage pass there.
Yakayale.
Yeah. That must be another word in Breton.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
They had a poster in French on the wall that says in French, shows people riding a bicycle, and it says, you know, Breton language is like riding a bike. Once you learn it, you never forget.
Velos.
Velos, yes. That was the Velos poster, yeah.
Yeah. Velos bicycle. Chitinsha. Japanese. So what about this gig?
Well, there was a bunch of people there, and it was... It was actually the second gig of the new version of the Stooges. The first one having been in November of 2009 down in Sao Paulo, Brazil, which people might have seen that on the internet.
And the festival Planeta Terra.
Planeta Terra, yep. We're getting tighter. We're sounding better. Did a lot of the same songs. New catalog, a lot of raw power stuff now, and Iggy Pop, This Is Your Life kind of material. You know, that's what I call it anyhow. But it's a lot of fun, and I'm real happy because
Kill City,
yeah, he's got me playing on stage on all the songs now, so I'm not just doing the walk-on.
Start with 1970.
I'm doing everything. I'm playing a couple little keyboard songs and
some clave.
Claves and and a tambourine.
Harmonica.
Harmonica, that's right.
You playing the
tambourine. I play harmonica on one side. I get about 8 bars or something. Yeah.
It's not a green tambourine.
I'm gonna paint it, I think.
This Burge is down here.
Burge. Yeah.
The Burge is down.
Burgess. Burges.
Yeah.
Burge.
If you want to know what I'm destroying. But if you want to know the word bourgeois, I guess the root is castle, and these
Burg,
are the people in the castle. Not actually the king, but
the burgers.
Yeah, right.
that's where that comes from.
Right, burgers. So. Yeah.
And when we live in the burg, that's what
burg,
we eat.
And I think the older word for burg is a mountain before even castle.
Yeah.
So well,
the castle was on the mountain.
But we're in this town and we're doing some days of prac. But there's going to be a gig here Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's their festival of spring.
Yeah, du printemps.
Yeah, the biggest festival in France.
Is it?
The most important festival in France. It's like...
Wow.
It's like South by Southwest or something. It's the place where...
I didn't know that.
It's where everybody comes to sign their contracts for the rest of the year.
Because this town seems a little provincial. It's very beautiful. You can tell no bombs
in
the Second War. So, and then it's not by the water. Actually, Kemper was very beautiful too, because Brest, received all the...
That's right. They got
Brest had all the submarines from the Nazis, and so it took all the bombs.
Yeah.
But Kemper.
So the other
Quimper,
side of
no, it's Quimper, no?
Kemper.
Quimper, yeah.
Well, no, Kemper is how they pronounce it.
Okay. Yeah, because of Breton. They even have the two spellings on the signs, you know?
Yeah.
Like in Canada.
Yeah, I was just there. I was in Concarneau, which is like, I don't know,
Oh, wow.
Same airport.
Brittany is a peninsula. Just south west of Normandy.
Yeah.
Because the U.S. people would know Normandy.
It's like northwestern France.
It's the place of the where the most resistant French people are. There's no tolls on the roads, and they pay different taxes. They don't have the same taxes like in...
So maybe they got some autonomy.
Yeah, they're like the most...
But people would know Normandy from the U.S. because that's where the D-Day landings were.
Yeah.
So this is right next to that. Very important, the big town in Breton is Rennes.
That's a
very important town for Stooges history, because in 2002, Ron Ashton, Scott Ashton played with Jay Maskus and myself at some festival.
Oh, you did?
And this is where Ig started hearing about Ronnie and Scotty playing again, and asked them to do the Skull Ring.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we never knew what was going on. Me and Jay were just excited to play with Ashton Brothers. But it did have consequences that were intense. It led to...
Amen. Thank
in fact, 23rd of this month, April 23rd, 2003, was the first gig at Coachella.
Yeah.
So it'll be 7 years.
I got the email from you when I was on my way from the desert. You know, I was gone like a week from the desert, and you called me.
You were close, because it was in Indio.
Yeah, but I was already in New York. Ah. You know, I was on my way back.
Has Kamilski has a pad in the desert, not far from there. Yeah. More Joshua Tree?
More Pioneer Town.
Pioneer
Town. Yucca Valley. That is
the place where I have my place. It's called Burns Canyon.
But that ain't far from a Joshua Tree at all.
No, it's 20 miles. Yeah. About that.
So anyway, 7 years it is a trip, because I'm 1 month short of 6 years being a Minuteman. Isn't that trippy? I'm longer now.
Yeah.
Although there was a year.
No, this would be my longest engagement with anybody.
Hiatus. You know, we only played once last year.
Yeah.
In fact, we didn't know we were going to play again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This Rock Power edition was. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But we're excited to play. It's great playing with Steve. Steve's playing really strong these days.
I can't see it on him. He's back and he's got his game.
What'd you do?
I stopped drinking. Like my friend Rex Reason says, don't tell him you're sober. That sounds too much like AA. Just tell him you stopped drinking. Right. So. It's been like 10 months now, and I feel a lot better, and, antidepressants do help, but...
But you lost weight, your breath is strong.
Yeah, been a lot stronger, feel a lot better, playing with a lot more groups, and, it's good because being in this version of the Stooges is a big old workout, and...
Because you're on stage every song,
yeah. Yeah, but even just getting ready for this, I wouldn't have been able to do that, you know, the way I was. So.
You got the tinkle back in your eyes.
Yeah, you remember me from when?
Well, no, you told me there was a gig where you woke up.
Oh, I know. It was with playing with Third Thursday, and we're playing at St. Peter and Paul Church in Washington Square in San Francisco, and it was like a benefit for their school or something. And third song in, I went down for the count. And yes, there was a doctor in the house, but I'm really lucky. I live in a county in California that has a pretty decent health plan, and so I was able to.
Steve's in Pacifica, which is near San Francisco, but it's not San Francisco.
Yeah, it's just over the hill, as we say.
A little south.
Yeah.
Or southwest.
10 miles.
There's none of the gay people there.
Oh, you know what? In my neighborhood, my neighborhood, according to a long time ago, a landlord, we were going to live over there, and the landlord said he wanted a lot of money for the apartment, and he points over to where we're living now, and he says, well, you can go over there and live with the dogs, cats, kids, and mixed breeds. And I guess them. So we got everybody over there, folks. We got them all over there, gay, straight, black, white, Asian, noisy, rich, poor.
You didn't rent from that guy, did you?
No, I didn't. Yeah, yeah. No, I think maybe his apartment was the one that fell into the ocean.
Probably, that's right.
That's probably what it slides into.
The karma.
White flower.
The karma backs the bitch slap thing.
Yeah,
interesting. Let's play another Third Thursday song and something new from you, Kamilski.
He's such an animal. He's such an animal. Oh, got the shakes. Nose running, joint dripping, mind slipping, body aches. Jones coming down. Got an attitude, fighting mad, feeling bad. Funeral sad, another 24-hour drag. The zoo rag to cop me a transplanting bag. You see, cause I'm strung out on a white witch. My timeless bitch riding a white horse into my main vein. Damn, baby, got to kill this pain. I'm gonna get slick and get my woman to pull a trick. She don't care, she's on welfare. Gonna steal her check and cop me a check and steal me some stuff when the going gets rough. Where's my wine? I've got to ease my mind. Is that the kid out here crying? Shut up, kid. You want the super to call the man and have me pull another bid? So what if you're hungry? Shit, my Jones is...
Call that a Charlie horse.
Yeah, it's from, it's like a deficiency of...
Right. Waste material builds up. People have different theories about lactic acid.
Lactic acid, yeah.
Or an oxygen deficiency or something. Yeah. We're talking about the cramp in my foot here. we just heard some music from my guests, Steve McKay, Kamielski. Steve McKay with the... That's really good for the microphone when you do that.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
Completely.
It was real life. It was real life. Steve McKay started off that chunk of music with Political Animal, Steve McKay in the Third Thursday Band, that first Thursday, like erroneously credited. And then we heard Kamielski's Kundalala with The Shit Man. And then we heard a group of U.S. soldiers doing music on the side that maybe U.S. Army didn't approve of so much.
They were from what,
but
Germany?
But we're glad. No, they're U.S. guys. They're stationed.
Stationed in Germany, that's right.
And remember the NATO thing and all that. And
I think that's still there.
What was the? Yeah, but I think they use it now for like hospitals for Iraq. It's different. No Soviet.
Yeah. But you still see them on the highways.
Yeah, yeah, but not like in the old. I remember when I was touring in the '80s. A lot different. In fact, Frankfurt was the big town for them, for the U.S. guys.
They all come the Pershing gigs. Missiles, and I remember touring with Snakefinger. About
well, not Frankfurt's, their
83.
Like Wall Street town. That's where their stock market
yeah,
is. There's a big sculpture of a euro.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we used to play at the club was the Botchkopf, and it was at the train station. And you get U.S. soldiers, and the first thing they'd always say to you is, like, 8 months, 3 weeks, 2 days, when they're getting out.
Right.
And there was an enlisted man and an officer. They had to sneak because they're not allowed to fraternize, but they both liked punk music before they were service, you know. So it's an interesting thing. Anyway, that was the Monks with Oh, How to Do Now. And these guys actually got tonsured haircuts and the robes. And they did a reunion a couple of years ago, and there's a documentary out on it.
Oh, man.
And then we heard Jones Coming Down by The Last Poets. We were talking about some of their stuff and the influence they had on younger musicians. I want to get to these songs here. Political Animals had several incarnations, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that a few times over the last 20 years or something. Yeah, I believe this is the most recent recording.
What was the first? Was it a Carnal?
First one was Carnal Kitchen from the En Voyage record.
Okay. Yeah. Thoughts on why you wrote it? Was it kind of The Last Poet's name?
It was about politics. I mean, if you hear the lyrics, you realize that it's just about how people are people, and somebody's always beaten down on somebody else, and
three invisible dicks.
Rodney King, why can't we all get along? Forget it, you know. But yeah, stuff like that. But I'm glad you mentioned that because
have
I was.
You heard of this guy, Glenn Beck?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, this you're talking about The Commentator?
Whatever, I don't know.
This is a family show.
Okay.
That guy is, he's dangerous. He's like Goebbels or something like that. Minister of Disinformation.
Yeah.
But I was going to say about political
takes advantage of the free speech, yeah. though. We let.
Yeah, that's right. So I'll defend to the death his right to say it, even if I disagree.
Well, there might be confusion because if he wasn't allowed to say what he does, we might not think he's who he is.
That's true. At least we know who he is. He doesn't make any bones about that. What I was going to say about...
A wannabe. Maybe he's just a lot of hot...
What I was going to say about Political Animal is that I was inspired in the writing of it, in the bass line and stuff, and also just in the general vibe of it, by my old bandmate leader, Snakefinger.
Oh, yeah.
Been gone these many years, but he would write songs that were kind of like that.
We're going to play something by his daughter.
Oh, good, yeah.
Okay, interesting. I never thought that guy would make it on my show. I've never mentioned him.
But you saw Snakefinger?
No, I love him. That other guy.
Oh, Natalie Glenn Beck.
And Kamilsky, yeah. The Shit Man. Ah, that's why I thought of him. Where'd this song come from? First of all, where'd you record it?
I recorded it in Amiens with my friends from a band called Headwar.
Yeah.
And they have this really nice setup at a half-inch 16 track.
Yeah.
Reel-to-reel and all the original gear from the 70s.
Yeah.
And so because of the gear, I thought I should record something that sounds kind of like an R&B version, my version of R&B.
Yeah. Cool. How long ago? Recent?
It's like a 2 months old song.
2 months old? Mm. And yours is a month old.
That recording, yeah.
Not the composition.
Some of my songs I like to say, harken back, they'll say like, oh, this song's back in the first Gulf War. You know?
Your catalog.
Right.
Your catalog. Hey, Steve, you got a little trip. What's that trip? Because you're going to already be here. But you're going to do some music here in Portugal, right?
Yeah. Camille's going to be hooking up with me down in Porto and Scott Neidiger from Radon.
When's this?
That's going to be at the end of April. There's a club called Maus Hábitos, which means bad habits.
In Porto.
In Portugal, in Porto. And we're going to be... I'm also going to be working on trying to put the new record together while I'm there.
And so who's kind involved?
Of a working vacation. That'll be
who's going to be playing on that?
Well, we've got a band Supa and our buddy Jonathan, who's an engineer and Radon pal of ours, and Kamilski.
Oh yeah, we need a Radon update.
Well, Radon is a lot of the people have kind of grown up and out of the Radon family, but we're still associated with each other. But right now, it's probably me, Steve McKay, and Sikara. Scott Neidiger's band, and we're pretty much the last holdouts, and this may be one of the last products out of the label.
Okay.
But
he's claiming the Radon Collective is going on a 10-year hiatus.
And somebody told me he lost the URL.
Yeah, that was our buddy Nico in Paris, who we recorded the Brussels session with, actually.
Yeah.
And I said, What happened to RadonCollective.org? It's this white bread download site. Why would anybody call a site like that name? And he said, well, man, I'm sorry, I forgot. That's life on the internet, you know. Well, thanks a lot, pal.
Because he forgot to pay the monies to register.
Yeah, I would have paid the money, you know.
Econo.
But now I got SteveMcKay.org. And that's paid up for at least a couple of years, and I'm one of the owners of it now. So
that's Stevemackey
.org.
So go there for Steve McKay stuff. But this might be the last before the 10-year hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they are working so close with each other that I'm sure there'll be projects coming up. It's just that.
Well, for people who don't know, maybe you should say something about the Radar. A Radon Collective history.
It kind of goes back over 10 years, it was like noise bands, traveling in their vans around, especially around the United States, but then eventually around Europe, and playing at all the collectives and squats and noise festival gigs and just traveling and playing, you know, their unique music, you know, and a lot of it was, most of it was pretty non-conventional. And
this is where you made a lot of connections with these people you're playing with now.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and Kamielski.
Well, Kamielski is part of that family. Yeah. Exactly.
Is that how you met?
Yeah, we met through Scott, yeah.
Yep, through Scott. That's right.
So important. So this, what's the idea behind this project in Porto?
I want to get a record out while I've still got some name recognition going on from the Stooges thing, and just because I've wanted to put out some of these songs for years, you know, the last album on Radon was called Michigan and Arcturus, yeah. And that was pretty much a grab bag of a bunch of sessions, but it was all instrumental and more experimental and, you know, non-structured, and that, the like I said, the difference on this one is that it's going to be... real tunes and stuff. So like the drummer
and
said,
all from one session and not just different things.
All from different sessions. You know, the new album is from different sessions.
You mean part of these Porto songs are going to go on this?
That's we're going to put
in
the Porto, album together in Porto.
Porto. Mixing, and
I understand.
Yeah, that's kind of why
so
we're there.
So stuff from the old stuff plus some new session stuff.
Yeah, okay. Mostly a mixing session.
And this is how I speak.
Sometimes like this I talk.
Oh yeah, like this sometimes I talk is the name of it. Okay.
Sometimes like this I talk.
For some reason I was thinking that this was another proj besides that, but no.
No, this is
part
it.
And parcel of the same.
But we're managing to have a Radon All-Stars kind of
game. Yeah, right.
That we're going to do at Mouse
Out. So the most recent stuff for it will probably be from this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Who else is going to be on it?
Oh, it'd be Scott Neidiger and Kamielski and yeah. Me and Supa.
This engineer, John?
Jonathan. Jonathan, but he's one of the guys in Supa. We did a United Scum Sound Clash recordings back then. You remember back in 2004 when we were both in Porto and we recorded on their album. There's also this thing coming out that Scott's putting out called Machine Gun. Have you heard that yet?
No.
It's
the Hendrix song.
No. It's like some stuff that Scott put together from some sessions that we did in Brooklyn at Caesar's Palace.
Okay, it's
back on a East Coast tour.
Hey, didn't you do some recording with Liquor Ball?
Oh, yeah.
How long ago?
There was an vinyl came out in the last year.
Okay. I remember you did that. I can't remember. When was that?
It's 2008, maybe.
It was that long ago? Okay. I thought there was something more recent. Maybe it was a gig.
Yeah, we played a noise festival up in San Francisco.
Ah, okay.
And some of that stuff was out on the internet and such like that.
So. Okay.
I actually missed their most recent gig because we were in Kemper.
Ah, okay. And you were talking about oboe?
Oboe, there's another...
Oboe?
Those
people going to be involved?
I don't think they're going to be there, but when they come to San Francisco, I sit in with them on Barry Sachs.
Right.
That's a duo, Italian duo, a man and a woman. They're just fabulous. And
I just saw him yesterday, actually.
And Camille sees them because they're over here in Europe. They're from Italy, but they live in Berlin now, I believe. And they're traveling around, and they're a wonderful act. They've got a kind of a structure to their. They said, "Well, Steve, we've really changed our material now. We actually have a structure." And I said, "Okay."
Everybody's getting into the structure thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, what's this happening?
it's the last week of April.
Yeah.
So it's in between our French gigs and Madrid.
Yeah, exactly.
London, our Minehead.
Yeah, exactly, right. But what we're going
to
play Madrid.
I have to go to Pedro. That's what you were asking me about.
Yeah.
Damn. I would love to be part of that. Fuck. I got to go home and then I come back for our Madrid gig. There's 10 days.
You're playing shows in
there's more than that. They made a picture. Did you tell him? Or did you get the flow?
Oh,
in Santa Monica, Steve went to it. Mm-hmm. It's called Eye Gifts from Pedro, and this gallery in Santa Monica put up my Pedro sunrises and pelicans.
Oh, yeah, yes. I seen that on I got the email from you about that.
Yeah, these are the people that follow you on the net and stuff like that, or are fortunate enough to get the messages from you, have been treated to a lot of these photographs. So some of them are old friends.
Oh, yeah, they're from the emails, my phone.
But, you know, I was a lot of your friends and fans have been saying for a long time that it was time for a coffee table book or a calendar or something. But an art show in a gallery is a pretty darn good thing. So
that's intense.
Coffee table book would be probably good since he takes those pictures like at 6 o'clock in the morning. I always think about you when I wake up at 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, like, shit, I wish I would be like you. You already have 5 hours of boring in
it. By conquering,
paddle out into it.
I know, man. He already seen 50 birds, and I didn't even look at mine in the morning.
The pelicans know him by sight.
Now, so I have to go down on the 23rd. They're having this thing.
Oh, but it was
to
deal
it up because the next thing comes in. But you know, my mom was Steve. It was after Stooges practice, the opening. Like they have, it's kind of a.
It's at the, what's it called, the place?
Track 16. It's kind of a, you know, everybody comes. It's kind of scary.
It's the big
stuff's hanging there. People are talking.
It's the big place in Santa Monica where they have all.
Well, there's a bunch of galleries called Bergamot Station.
Yeah, the Bergamot Station.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. People, the guy from the LA Times is following me around with a video camera, asking me what I think of Mike's work and explaining it.
Because we had Stooges prac, and we went right from the prac to the thing.
You got any people from Nikon trying to
actually, the cameras I use are pretty Econo. They're Pentaxes. Uh-huh.
And yeah, that's the thing. I've seen the cameras that you use, and I'm just amazed by the detail, especially in nature shots and the shots.
Because that LA Times guy had a huge. He was even showing me stuff about him. You know, I don't know a lot of the technical. I just point and pray, click and pray. You know, because when you're dealing with nature and stuff, you really can't set up the shot. And it's whatever comes in.
And you use some sort of waterproof case for them or something?
In the kayak.
Because I was always thinking
Well, there's two kinds. There's ones on bicycle.
Uh-huh.
That can be just in a sack. Yeah. Okay. But the one with the salt water is very...
Yeah.
It is not kind to anything. So, for a long while, I used a skin diver case.
Yeah.
And then, but the last year, I actually found a Econo camera that's waterproof, seaproof.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so it don't have to be in the case. But, yeah, salt water is so intense. Metal, cloth, anything. It just wants to break it up and beat it down. But the good thing about digital is you don't have to worry about buying film and developing. So there's kind of just go for it.
And using lots
and see what happens.
Using lots of chemicals to get the pictures up.
Oh yeah, the old days.
Yeah.
Well, then you in the old days when you bought the camera, that was really just first installment. Then you were paying for each developing each film.
Well, that's sort of like
the world. It completely changed, you know.
That's like your computer. When you buy the computer, they give you a huge printer for free so they can sell the ink cartridges.
That's it. And this is what was weird about my thing. I gave one picture last year to save. HealTheBay.org for a charity postcard. They asked me for one. That's the first time I ever saw something printed of mine. And then now these things were printed. And it's, when you're looking at the pewter, you know, it takes up all your eye or whatever. It's different than it in a frame on a white wall.
And been bigger, you know.
And they make it what size?
Like, you know, like a couple feet, 18 by 24 or larger.
Wow. I've never seen them like that. And just the white wall of the plain walls and the white frames.
Because then what they did was they went digitally to a photo lab who then ended up printing a photo just like they'd print from a negative or something, but using digital technology. So it's like a real, you know, modern way of putting this stuff together.
Trippy. But so I have to be there for that. So I wish I could be in Porto with you guys. And this sounds like interesting. Very interesting project. Damn.
Well, you'll be there. There's a bunch of songs with your bass on.
Yeah, that's the your sound is going to be there.
Oh.
because your tracks are going to be there with me.
Yeah, so the guys are going to be adding to those original tracks.
Well, we're just going to be using those original tracks. Some of them, you know.
Right, so I will be there.
We're going to try to mix it, you know, with all the songs in one piece, so they sort of sound, you know.
You know, just get them, like you say, equalize them.
Because
you know,
it's from all the different sessions. And
Some
of it is recorded.
So you want to make it coherent, so it's all.
And I'm really fortunate to have you, Camille, you know, with your expertise in dealing with, and Jonathan too, with dealing with you know, the recording techniques.
Don't count on me.
I like what you make.
Okay, speaking of Camille Ski recording.
Yeah.
We heard the shit, man, but you've been doing stuff.
Yeah, so you know, I left the States to become the expat.
Yeah.
And I live now in Paris,
mm-hmm.
in an artist commune.
Yeah.
Place.
What part of Paris?
Ivry-sur-Seine.
Okay.
As they say, 94.
What part of the? Is it the left, the right? Which bank?
It's the communist. It's the communist part of town, and it's south of Paris, right next to the peripheric. So.
Ah.
And next to the place where the Seine and Marne sort of separates or flow together.
Okay.
And so I have a recording studio there, and I've been touring France for 2 years, so I met lots of bands and people with studios. And so I record in different parts of France.
Now, have you got something going on for Bourges here?
Yes. Well, in fact, there's going to be a show on the 13th.
Oh, wow.
We'll have the night off.
On your night's off.
Tuesday?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
what is it? A club?
It's a place called K4.
K4.
K40.
K40.
And K4 is a basement, I guess, or
space, music space. Yeah. And what project? What project?
It's Kundahola, and Steve is sitting in, and we're hoping that you're gonna show up too.
Wow.
With your piece of wood. My
trash. You didn't tell me about it.
I heard that it might happen, okay. But yeah, I said, well, if I got the night off, then Watt hopefully has got the night off. Because we bring him along whenever we can, don't we?
Wow. Wow, okay. K40, Tuesday night. After Pratt, we have a short prac.
Okay.
I think it's from 2 to 5.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Let's go. You come over and pick us up.
Exactly.
Wow, what a trip.
With my Econo van.
No, that's
Euro style.
Yeah.
Isn't it the same one we saw before?
Yeah.
It was kind of big.
That's a Ford Transit.
Yeah, first time I toured in Europe was with Ford Transit, with Black Flag and Minutemen. The old style Ford Transits that were kind of roundy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The nice ones, the Bedfords.
Bedfords, that's right.
Yeah.
That's what they were called.
I remember those, yeah.
They're nothing. These new ones kind of copied the Renault, Fiat, Sprinter kind of look. But those old guys.
And you know, you're going to have them in the States pretty soon.
Yeah, is that right?
This year they're releasing the Connect, which is like a small pickup. And they're supposed to sell the all-electric Ford Transit full-size van in 2012.
Wow.
You're a Ford van man. That's, yeah. You get an endorsement from them.
Kind of lines, many years.
Yeah.
Many years.
Yeah, this is going to
be... Not electric, though. V10 Triton, 6.8 liter.
The only electric thing in there.
You know what, though? I saw on the road... Damn, where, you know, it was in L.A., and it was a hybrid semi.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. A big-ass truck. I don't know what they were carrying. Was it beer or...
The flashlight battery.
Or something. It was some big corporation, right? Yeah,
that's
flashlight.
Right.
But it was a hybrid...
The cargo is all car
semi-truck. That surprised me big time.
That's good. They got San Francisco buses running on biodiesel and stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, when the big trucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, people getting smart about that energy, that'd be great. What about the Czech? You ever play Czech?
No, you know, I have a strange relationship with my home country.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get to play there very much. In fact, France has been really, really great for me.
Yeah.
People really appreciate the music here. And
are you going to be there when the Stooges are there?
In Czech?
Yeah. You know about this.
In July, yeah, we're playing the Ostrava Festival, which is like the biggest festival in Czech.
Was it? Yeah. Is it? Wow. Because last time we played a sports hall, I think.
You played in Prague, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't a festival, was
it? No, it was like a hall.
It was a show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a couple other bands.
And maybe not such good, not so good acoustics.
Uh-huh. Well, it's for
it was a sports, yeah, right.
It's for the hooligans.
Maybe. No, Czech people were pretty good to play for.
Yeah.
Actually, me and Steve went and saw a gig.
The Magyarda. I sat in, and you sat in a little bit.
Yeah,
too.
And I heard the radio show too. I heard.
We did the
went
show.
Went to listen to Yarda because you know, I really love Yarda, and you know, it's unfortunate.
What's he doing now?
I haven't heard from him for a while, but from what I know now, he's not doing very much right now at this moment.
Because he was involved with some musicians when we were with him.
Yes, I mean, you know, he's really like the quintessential rock and roller in Czech, you know. In a band that put out the first vinyl, you know.
Yeah.
Of rocking music.
And his story was incredible.
Yeah, rock behind the Iron Curtain.
Yeah.
Well, you're a veteran of that too, Val.
Well, I was more the punk rock, you know.
Yeah. He's like 60s.
Yeah, he's the 60s. Yeah. I was the early 80s.
Yeah. But, interesting. So you don't play that much. Wow. Well, then vive la France.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I find France really amazing for music right now. And there's, maybe for the fact that there's not so many French bands that would be that interesting, the music from the French is kind of stagnant right now, but I think they have that same problem in all the culture right now. They're not producing.
But people coming here, it's got some ideas.
But, yeah. And there's still a lot of people really interested in music and just the way they live, you know, they're really like some of the most generous and giving people I have ever met.
Yeah.
And
great.
So to exist here, you know, like my last record I put out with in a cooperation of 8 different labels, and that's pretty much now the way all the bands in France are putting out their records, and they're independent. Bands anyways.
Yeah, we're getting, you know, I'll be investigating things like that to
and
try to distribute.
Steve was one of the contributors as well.
Yeah.
Into the record, yeah. And
respect.
It's a great little thing, man. Everybody.
Yeah, I want to hear more about it. But we're at the end of the first hour.
All right.
April 11th, 2010. Watt Peter Show. Hold tight for hour 2. April 11th, 2010. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. We'll be right back. Watt for Pedro show. Played some stuff from Italy. Start off second hour. Sigodi with Perhaps the Continued Existence of Humanity Depends on It. Is that a title, Mr. Steve?
That sounds like a title.
Yeah, it is. And then All for Now with Let Me Know Your Thoughts. All for Now is a improvisation duo with John Dietrich from Deerhoof.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
With Tholem McDonough, who lives in the Bay Area, a piano player. He also is in Sigodi. And they invited me to be part of a three-way without a drummer. Just bass, piano, and guitar. So in Texas, end of August, we'll see how that goes. The guitar guy tells me, well, look, I'll follow his right hand, you follow his left. Right? The treble, the bass clef.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we heard Crackin' the Whip by Trabacco and Medieval Tune by Neil. Neil's got this guitarist named Manlio. And I first met him playing in a band of his called Squartet. Doing this thing that they call jazzcore, this scene, which is a lot of notes, a lot of... The guy plays guitar without a strap. He gets a chair, you know, and puts his leg up there in this kind of Django style. But he's really good. And this is another one of his bands, another trio called Neo. And they're going to come tour in the U.S. And then Un Giorno by Rica Matrici. This is something you gave me.
It's Alos.
Alos. The name of the album.
Yeah. No, that's Alos is the name of the project.
Yeah, okay.
Enrica Matrici is the name of the album.
Matrici, okay. Yeah. And Alos is a side project by one of the members of OVO.
OVO, yeah. Stefania.
Yeah. Now, this lady plays... Dreadlocks?
She plays her own dreadlocks. She's got a pickup on a violin bow.
Yeah.
And as she has explained, you can get interviews with her on the internet and such like that. But she says you take a big piece of hair and you get a lower sound. And if you take a smaller little strand of hair, you get a higher sound. And she gets quite the sound out of it.
And she's got dreadlocks all the way to her feet.
Yeah, and she's only about 5 feet tall, if that.
She's got 5 foot dreadlocks.
Yeah,
she ain't cut it in a while.
And she
Now you had some interesting information about some cultural centers in Italy, like the army was kind of uninvited.
Oh yeah, the takeover in
Milano.
In Milano.
Or Monza.
It's in Milan, Monza. It's down right next to Milan.
Right.
And Forte Prenestino in Roma.
In Roma. Yeah. They didn't get in there because they lifted the drawbridge.
Yeah.
But these guys rolled the tanks in.
Yeah. I guess Europe is getting a lot more right wing.
Yeah.
And also in France and everywhere else, Holland.
Yeah, right. But you know that old joke with the grandfather, right?
Oh, yeah.
Granddaughter looking through the old photo album. What's that picture of, grandfather? Oh, I'm just saying, wait a minute.
this is how my dog jumps, huh?
It's in a way not that funny. Oh, man.
I mean, it's just a way of... to me, it's more like they really trying to import the American... way of making business.
Yeah.
And for that, they would definitely have to make Europe much more fascist,
mm-hmm.
to be able to pass the law and to destroy the laws that are against this kind of way of life.
Yeah.
That are really entrenched in Europe. So,
going
more right first is a way of making space for the people coming in with money and making more money off of money, so...
Yeah. And you would tell me, issue with the cheap labor?
Why that?
Which means somebody from a country with some unfortunate history recently,
yeah.
And so they can get people to do work for...
Yeah, I mean, And one way they're really trying to isolate all the states that are outside the European Union, you know,
right.
the eastern state that didn't make it into being civilized enough, I guess, or
well, like Bulgaria or something.
I think they made it.
Although they made it, okay.
But I think it depends on, you know, if you have a stainless steel in your kitchen, then you're a civilized, and if it's made out of tiles, you're a fucking barbarian, and you're
good test, boy. That's why people go to university to decide these important.
It boils down to that. If you let them build a highway so that they can bring the trucks full of
stainless steel, then you're going to get. You're on that road to civilization.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're doomed to. Yeah.
And that's what Europe kind of became. That, you know, I was on tour 2 years ago, and I could not believe that you go to Romania, which I always thought was sort of underdeveloped or whatever, but it's really not. It's really actually, you know, pretty much the same as anywhere else. But all the way from Belgium all the way to Romania, as you go, you see the same sort of gas stations and the same sort of shops. So it's kind of becoming like in America, you know, where you have the Home Depot and Starbucks and, you know, Office Depot.
Every place looks like every place else, yeah.
Yeah, you could be in Texas, and if there wasn't the nature, you wouldn't even know what state you're
right,
in.
Right.
It looks the same.
Same Burger King, same.
Yeah.
If I remember being in Tampa, Florida, it was many years ago, but we're asking for directions, and they say, "Oh yeah, you just go down to the second Kmart and then turn left at the third Red Lobster."
Oh no,
and it's right next to the Uncle John's Pancake House, but not that one—the one down the street.
Crapper Barrel. I popped this we were conking at this pad in Knoxville. And it was in a track home thing, and you couldn't tell it was Knoxville. It was like Orange County.
Yeah.
Same kind of cul-de-sac. But the Romanian thing was interesting because I was walking around this morning, and I met a man. Here's my home. And he showed me his backpack, and he's from there. He can't find work.
Oh, okay.
And so maybe he's not having some of the success that some Romanians are.
Well, They made a contract with some countries, like Czech has an open work visa with France and England, Ireland, places like that, not Germany, because they're the ones that are the most protective about their market.
Yeah.
But it's also the country where it's the easiest to get under the table, you know, jobs and stuff.
Germany?
Yeah.
We didn't play there for several years because the taxes were too high. That was the excuse anyhow. Stooges didn't play in Germany.
Well, then bring it in the East. That's probably where they get their kind of labor, the former East Germany.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, that's the way.
Have you played further East than the ones that got let in?
Well, I played in Turkey. I guess I would say that was the most...
What's the word on them? Are they ever going to be let in?
You know, I don't think so. I mean... for the most of the Europeans, you know, that's like, if they let Turkey in, I guess they feel like, then what's the point of having European Union? You know, they don't consider that Europe anymore. It's Asia.
Right, because just that one little piece of Turkey is in the European continent, and then the rest is in the Asian continent.
And the customs.
Religion too.
They're pretty mixed. I mean,
their history is more Christian than Muslim.
Yeah.
If you looked at all the years,
that's true.
Because of the Romans. And
people are pretty secular in Istanbul. They don't, you know, the
Byzantine.
Yeah.
Well, the government, the army, there's a real strict. After that Ataturk guy, they were real strict.
I think it's more about the fact that they probably the control that the European Union, you know, the powerful states exerts on all the other countries, like Czech, which they had 20 years, you know, to into blackmailing into sort of going their way. They probably don't have that kind of control over a country like Turkey or
so difficult
or Belarus.
Yeah.
And so that's why they don't let them in.
Okay, interesting. Greece. There's this problem for EU, right?
Yeah.
Not success story.
Yeah, and I've never played in Greece, never found any contacts.
We've done three Athens games.
At least three there, yeah. They you know, they know how to sing "Now I Want to Be Your Dog," just like everybody else.
Good people.
That's important.
Good child.
All over the world. That's everybody can speak English that
way. Palm Springs weather in the summertime. Yeah. It's warm. Or Pioneerville, where you were. Palm Springs. That's near where you live. Palm Springs just brings home their idea. Yeah. Because it's in the desert, but it's so much water. Golf course. And
yeah, it's humid, actually.
And and a retirement community, and it's like... Yeah. Nothing like where you live.
No, because where I live, the people actually stay on their bikes.
Yeah.
In Palm Springs, you see when they come to a red light, they just fall off.
That's right. It's like the world's capital of like electric golf carts as cars.
Yeah, they probably have the most golf cart accidents. But,
you know what? But this Greek thing, situation with the EU, this might be a serious
problem.
Yeah.
Well, and they having also
not just a Greek problem, but a problem that's showing of the EU, maybe.
Yeah.
The acronym is PIGS, PIIGS, I think. It's like Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain.
Yeah.
These are all the countries that
underperforming.
That are underperforming, and they were like kids with like giving your college age kid an American Express card.
Yeah,
you know, and all of a sudden everybody's got this credit, and you saw it in Portugal too. Everybody's like putting a second bathroom in their house right next to the first bathroom. You know, wait a second, it's exactly the same. Yeah, well, you remember where we stayed in Lisbon? That's what they'd done there. They had two identical big bathrooms right next to each other, like a status symbol. And they went from having no phone to a cell phone. You know, a lot of places are like that.
Wow. Wow.
It's also the older, it's the older countries that have, you know, that are the old, part of the old system, you know,
mm-hmm.
that were part of the Roman Empire or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's them against the Nordic yeah. empires, the more recent, you know.
Wow. I think most U.S. people think is Europe is all one thing. Or they actually have no idea. It's something that
very few Americans actually leave. They should make it mandatory for Americans to have to go somewhere outside the United States except for Mexico or a holiday
destination. I really think so too, because you know there's this.
I think it'd be interesting for them actually.
We're in a state.
Oh, it changed their minds completely.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
They wouldn't feel the same way. They'd realize how similar we were, and. You know, how the and just
but
how
different too. People have same problems, but different ways of approaching.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, but the thing is, in America, the life or lifestyle now it's so dramatically different from any other country in the world, and it's because they're isolated in what they're doing.
Yeah,
and they think that what they're doing is the best, and it's what you're supposed to do. I think it's really like a. Important that they will go to other places and actually see how life can be lived in a different way and for
it's
different
okay.
reasons and stuff like that.
You don't need to have a 48-inch plasma screen television, you know, and you don't need to have all this stuff. People live with a lot less, and they still have really good food and a good quality of life, and you know, without the same kind of materialism.
Yeah, because it's you know, I mean, I don't have to tell it to you, but in the States, to me, it seems like it's really like the country of the slaves now, you know, where everybody is sort of trapped in this like circle. Everybody's running the fucking bills all the time.
And all you have to do is throw.
That's all you hear them talking about, and it's all the like kicking up.
They're in trouble,
or whatever. You know?
It's really terrible. And then they try to do something like pass universal health care, and they're got their own version of the brown shirts with the tea parties and stuff like that, and there's like ignorant
tea
people
baggers.
Waving
right
what
tea baggers
well no the tea parties so maybe yeah, tea baggers right
that's
tea
San
baggers.
Francisco
it is good to get away for a while. I mean and heck Mike and I are from California. I mean, I'm originally from Michigan. He's mostly from California, but California is like probably the most forward-thinking place, but it's not all that different than the rest of the United States.
You think in the world?
I think so. I think in certain way the future is playing. It's being played out in California,
okay.
Especially in like in the. You know, in the
sure, like the weather.
The philosophy of the
I like the weather.
So do everybody else that has a brain.
We've been very lucky here since we got here.
Yes, we have.
We've had California weather in France in April.
Yeah. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Spoiled Mike Watt.
I'm from Northern California, so that's a different world up there, too. But we've got, I live by the ocean, and I don't mind the fog, and I don't mind the, it's like all year long, it's like within the same 20 degree range, kind of.
But, in my Pedro town.
I love your Pedro town.
Yeah. Yeah, and the U.S. Navy put me there.
Yeah, you're a Navy brat.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm sorry.
My pop said once, you know, if the Navy wanted me to have a family, they would have issued me one. Never again volunteer yourself, Navy. No, but I joined the punk Navy. My pop said, in a way, I was like a sailor.
You are
to travel.
You really
this
are.
Work, this work.
Well, you call your van a boat.
You're the land sailor.
Land sailor. Yeah. I want to do one of my radio shows on a boat. Skipper Jeff's going. We actually did one, but it was in the marina. But I want to do it going to Catalina.
Oh, like on the ferry?
No, his sailboat.
Oh, that would be so cool.
26 footer.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Ahoy!
Ahoy. And sails, too. No motor.
Well,
he's got a little motor, but auxiliary thing and stuff. So mainly it'd be using the olden way.
Well, did you get to hear the wind rustling the sails?
Yeah, that'd be great. Show. But we'll see. It'd be a unique show. I want to do one on the sea. Someone wanted me to do one in the kayak, but I said, man, you know, it'd be hard for the guests. They'd have to be bobbing in the water next to me. There ain't enough room. Yeah.
Well, you know, you could do just like a voiceover kind of a thing where you comment and it'd just be you solo and you can make it part of one of your shows and you say, now I'm going out past Angel's Gate.
It's another sea lion.
Yeah.
Here, talk to us. Some places, I guess, Asia, Kyrgyzstan, Thailand. Having some big problems. Yeah, big problems. One of my friends, Miss Peek, she's been on the show several times. She's in Bangkok, and right outside her pad, this is going on. And it's been, nobody hurt until yesterday. Now people killed.
Huh.
Yeah. Red shirts, yellow shirts, and trying to get new elections and stuff like this. And it's getting a little ugly. And Kyrgyzstan got very ugly. I guess the boss went away, though. So
Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah, Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan, yeah.
Yeah. Kyrgyzstan. Kind of close to Kyrgyzstan. That ain't a country yet. I think they have a dream.
I know that.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of blood being spilled for that.
Yeah.
To get a flag.
Yeah. And it's just so trippy. Because that's the big goal, get the flag. But, you know, that's not the end of the game, because there's going to be a new fight. Humans are funny about this. Their goals and their ideals turn into platitudes in the same old fights.
Yep.
Just getting the flag didn't solve everything. Let's play some music. We got some more stuff from Steve McKay, Kamielski. Ring.
I had a little accident a few years down the road, and that is how you ended up shot full of bullet holes. Welcome to your award, brought to you by the Inquisitable.
Ve Nayedi Ve Nacina Vina Rudez Vrne Odvina Stari Vrus Novi Přikraje Někdo tančí Jiný se pobleje Nový hosté zasednou a v kuchyni krůtě hlavu useknou.
Watt from Pedro Show. I heard some stuff from my guests, Steve McKay with the Third Thursday Band, Dead Chevys. And I've heard this in different incarnations. And then Chas, Gundala, Kamilski. Quite epic.
Yes, it is an epic song.
Yeah, where'd you record this?
I did this in Concarneau.
This is Breton.
In Bretagne, yeah.
Yeah,
we were both there at the same time together.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's a all analog studio, and
yeah,
this guy named Cedric who keeps it all together.
No, Cedric, I met Cedric because he was working on the crew at our festival that we played at.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah, and he came up to me and he says, "I'm a friend of Camille's. Hi, how are you?"
That's him. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I meant to tell you that.
So that must have been after I see, because I just seen him too, you know, so, and, you know, wow.
We say, it's small world.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when you get into music, and especially when you get into like, you know, radon music, or, you know, even Stooge music, the people that know other people, the world gets smaller, yeah. You know, you end up finding, you know, end up meeting people that, especially that I know from radon all over the place, you know.
And it seems to me too that like in the last 10 years the world got, it's probably because of the internet, whatever. But
oh yeah.
But it just got really connected, like.
You know what you didn't mention though is England. Is there any radon connect with England?
No.
Musician. Why?
Because I guess, you know, it's the hardest country to play in Europe.
Yes,
yeah. You have to have permits. And
right. Even U.S. Exactly. Guys, we need work permits
and
to play music.
And the system there, unlike anywhere else in Europe, in England to play, it's really difficult. It's like in the States.
Yeah, that I noticed that
and,
right first
and
time
book,
going
to
over.
Book shows and stuff like that.
Pubs.
There's a lot of competition. And
yeah.
And the money is real shitty.
Well, and
it's really
like
expensive
to
yeah. tour there. So for these reasons, I think it's like a country that you wait for to get, you know.
What about Ireland? You know, he's got a.
Yeah.
Steve's got a plan for
Ireland. They have a connection there. I haven't played Ireland yet.
But okay. But Radon did make the connection through you and me.
Yeah.
I turned him on to Estelle.
Yeah.
When which you know Mike and I did an album with them, and there's another one coming up.
Yeah.
But then Sicara went over there.
But you know they're
and they're actually they're over there about now,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, playing with Henry, yeah.
With Henry Barnes, the Names for Christ.
Ireland is running into another potato famine pretty soon. they're having some heavy crisis.
Rough time, I know. I know.
And they were like the most progressive.
I know. That was the success story.
Yeah.
For EU.
Yeah.
Well, it was the same thing that torpedoed the world's economy, which is the greedy bankers of Wall Street, yeah. Who should meet Mussolini's fate. We won't go any further into that.
You mean the town square?
Yeah, I think that was Milano.
On Iraq.
That was Mr. Berlusconi's town.
Hanging upside down from a phone, from a light pole, yeah.
Yeah, with his mistress.
There's out in the desert, there's a General George Patton Museum, and I saw pictures of that from that, soldiers.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, they die and they donate to this museum. I saw the shots. Oh, my God. That Don Cabaret Voltaire song, Mussolini Head Kick, I think I know where they had the title. Not a healthy dance. Not a too healthy of a dance. The head kick. Oof. At the end of the second hour, What from Pedro Show, April 11th, 2010. Hold tight for hour three. April 11th, 2010. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Not in Pedro, though, in Bourges. Okay, I'll get it right. Bourges, France. Kind of 2 hours southwest of Paris.
Yeah.
So not by the water, so much different than Pedro, but very beautiful. And what I got coming up next is a Pinhead from Asia segment. Ms. Pin's going to play you some music from her part of the world.
Pinhead from Asia segment, it's the third episode, giving you some great tune that's new to your ears and used in Asia. Today, I'll just improvise with anything I can get from my city shelf. So first, I have P-Model special for you, playing a few songs from P-Model's groundbreaking debut album, In a Model Room, released in 1979. It's quite ahead of time, I must say. We'll also be playing this cool song called Big Brother from Kaku P-Model. This version of P-Model is a solo unit of P-Model's lead singer, Susumu Hirasawa, formed in 2004. So here we go, two early P-Model works, Art Mania and Kamehali Pop, which is my favorite P-Model song, and then Big Brother by Kaku P-Model. Here we go.
ビジネス館に気を let's carry on.
go through several old Japanese indie bands which were heavily influenced by the early gothic punk movement in the late 70s to early 80s. Most of the bands or tracks are taken from this compilation called Selections from Excommunicated Monument, released in 1985. Now you can get the reissue CD released in 2002. I guess I'll just pick a few of my favorite bands from the disc. Okay, I'll have Madame Edwarda, Sadie Sats, G. Schmidt, and Automat. Wait, that's everybody. Okay, whatever. Okay, first two tracks you'll be listening to now are Paradox by Sadie Sats and Princess Rita by Madame Edwarda. Well, next you'll be listening to the song called Catholic by G. Schmidt, and okay, I'll go for Funeral Procession of Time by Automat and another song called Love Generation, taken from my personal favorite Automat album called Bible.
Thank you. しか雪のようにうねり君の体詰める僕の唇さえも本当は分かってるの明日だと果てしないと二人き今を生きて朽ち果てへ死に絶えるそれが僕らのラブジェネレーションGeneration 傷つけ合うよりも知らぬままでいたい舐め合う絆とは落ちたくもないさ二人の喜びに
Yula Taekoku just disbanded recently on the last day of March 2010. I feel real sorry, man. Myself and my good friends are all devoted fans, so I guess we need a group therapy or something to recover the loss of Yula. I'm joking. But anyway, too many good songs to listen to for this band, so I give you two songs for today and more to come for the next episode. Now I give you Aizuno theme, that is my favorite Yula Yula song, and another track called Hollow Me, which is the last track from their last album released in 2007, and it will be the last new thing you'll be listening to from Yula Yula Taekoku. first girl-only punk band from Taiwan is Ladybug, 瓢虫乐团, first released their self-titled album in 1997. Mid to late 90s is when Taiwan's underground scene began to rise. The common characteristics of the scene is intensive, expressive live performances with somehow upbeat and bittersweet lyrics and melodies. It has the spirit of punk while having a style of its own.Taiwan was and is a very small place, making it quite difficult to play music since the space between mainstream and underground was not so expandable. Agricultural in the 1970s, industrialized and postmodernized in 80s and 90s, very intense social cultural development for Taiwan, almost too intense. Could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I think it's getting worse and worse nowadays since we are losing the dynamics needed for music making, but still, this issue is debatable.Here I'm just digging out some good old youth sound from Taiwan. First time seeing Ladybug was in my junior high school years, can you imagine that? I think the leader is still active in the music biz, working in some sort of electronic unit. Two songs from the band are introduced today. It will be Cigarettes and Motorcycle.
Just my desire. Just a heart to let you.
Recently, I've been trying to find some dubstep IDM and two-step garage stuff that's made in Taiwan. Not easy, but you never know. Here I have some tracks sponsored by my DJ friend Iron Scott, who runs Social Path label in Taiwan, dealing specifically with stuff related to breakcore and IDM. I love irregular beats of all kinds and bass tune around 40 Hz, so music is something you cannot just rely on your ears to absorb. Okay, DJ Iron Scott, what do you have here? Okay, I have what you have recommended, a track called Making to Shine by Crab Boy from Singapore that's released on the Social Path label, and another track by Iron Scott yourself. That is the first track from your split with Please Don't, which was released in 2007, and the track is called Wei Wang Ren Chao Ying Luan. And now I'll wrap up the show for today's episode. I am DJ Pinhead, who just took a record of pretty music. And hope you enjoyed today's show. I'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Watt from Pedro show. Thank you, Miss Pan, with another Pinhead from Asia segment. Kaminsky here has some thoughts to share with us here.
Now, I mean, we were talking about Europe becoming more right-wing, whatever, and
yeah.
I just had this amazing experience in the subway in Paris, where I was with my daughter, you know, she's 2 years old, and we took the first trip to see the Louvre and walk around Paris and stuff like that, and then we were coming home kind of late, it was like 9 o'clock or something, and we were on a train, and I didn't notice the guy at first, you know, he's just looking to me like I don't even recognize skinhead anymore, you know, so you don't look for him anymore, you know, they're not like a threat or anything. But then, like, there was this group of like 9 or 10 young guys, black guys, you know, drinking and screaming on a train and being like kind of really rowdy and stuff like that. And I see that this guy is like making these weird faces, so I give him this look. And he's got, you know, the jeans with the roll up at the bottom and the boots with the weird fucking
laces.
You know, the laces, you know, and the green jacket and the bomber jacket and shit like that. And he's just making these like, and I'm like, oh wow, he's trying to say nigger or something, you know. He's just sitting near a poor Slav. He's just like.
We're gonna do this thing. K40,
yeah.
2 days.
On the 13th.
Have you ever played there before?
Yes, 2 times.
Wow.
Big crowds. People here are intense.
Really?
Well, that's cool. We got to get you on the guest list, I guess, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like a sleepy town.
Oh, well, there's an article.
Get him on the guest list. I thought we're doing the gig with him. In 2 days, we're going to play with them.
In 2 days, we're going to play with them, yeah.
We're going to be on the guest
list. We're going to be the guest list.
Now, there's an art college in Bourges. So, actually, there's quite a big art community.
What about, is there a bass?
Yeah, there's an amp.
And an amp, great. Because that's what's trippy about playing with these cats. I don't know. There's an amp for the gig, but... It's not my boat. I don't have my boat. So great, that'd be great. Wow. And improvise, obviously.
Yeah. You could do, you know, if you have your spiel, you could do your spiel or whatever.
Wow. Thank you much for the invite.
We're going to do our usual spiel now.
Actually.
Play the country song and fuck him up.
Yeah.
Actually, it's going to be the first time I played this town.
There you go.
Great.
Yeah, cool.
That's one of the wonderful things about being able to tour with the Stooges is to be able to hook up with you, Camille, in towns like this, you know, and
O-word opportunity.
Yeah.
Not the B-word burden.
And for me, it's like a opportunity to play in weird towns like Moscow.
That's right.
That's
the last time I saw Kaminsky was in Moscow.
And for the record, you know, did you hear I ended up going home?
Oh, yeah, I heard all of
it. And a 47-hour train ride.
All right.
Yeah, to the partisan territory.
Oh, yeah.
When they gave you a 2-day visa to be there for 3 days or something.
Exactly.
And I alone lived to tell the tale. You know. Yeah, that's right. That was a trip.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had my suitcase with my mixer and guitar and... It was really heavy, you know. It was because I got a ride to the airport and then I just put it on a plane and fly, right, and taxi to the hotel. I wasn't planning to like schlep this shit for 40 hours.
That's a lot of train.
And imagine I go with the train, so I take the train all the way to my parents' village, you know, because I don't have a car, so I figure I go to my parents and my dad can give me a ride to my truck and whatever, to my house, because it's a really remote place in China, whatever. And so I get to my parents' village and my parents live like 5 kilometers from the train station.
Yeah, so another schlep.
It's a gravel road, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm schlepping the suitcase, and the wheels get jammed, you know, from the gravel.
Oh, God.
So I'm just dragging the fucker. I'm like, I'm gonna get home.
The anchor.
Oh. Well, that was a lot of fun there in Moscow. I think, but I learned a valuable lesson then, which is... Don't sit in with the opening act if you're in the Stooges.
That was a trip. We're going back there.
Oh, yeah?
Well, not to be one, though. It's a different place, I think.
But Moscow.
But Moscow, yeah.
It's St. Petersburg.
Oh, cool. So St. Petersburg.
So get your train ticket.
Exactly.
No, that was a travail. Man, I remember when Steve told me about it. I want to thank you guys for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
My guest, big respect. And good luck with the musics, both you and this Porto adventure, Righteous.
Thank
and in
you.
2 days, K40, you're in Bourges. Did I say it right?
Bourges.
Bourges, okay. I'll get it. It's been the April 11th, 2010, Watt from Pedro show, live from Bourges. Keep your powder dry.